Reflection that guide both heart and mind. A better life through faith we'll find. A better life through faith we'll find. Reflections for the better life.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madrin channel, welcome back to another beautiful episode on the silsila Reflections for a Better Life. And mashallah, today we are going to be discussing a very beautiful topic, and that is regarding deeds that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we are going to be mentioning those as we journey throughout our episode today, inshallah. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that decorate your gatherings by reciting salawat upon me, for your recitation of salawat upon me will be a noor for you on the day of qiyamah. So let us all collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, Deeds of Madani Channel. Once again, we are back, yes, on the silsila, Reflections for a Better Life. So alhamdulillah, one, now that we are back, rejuvenated, energized, spiritually, alhamdulillah. And this is what we need. We eat food daily. We eat breakfast, we eat lunch, we eat supper, to keep our physical self energized, to keep our physical self rejuvenated. But we also need to nourish the soul. We also need to rejuvenate and energize the ruh, the heart, the soul. Alhamdulillah, we are going to be discussing deeds that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, before we actually go on to that topic, I want to mention to you a very beautiful hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, إِذَا ضَحِكَ رَبُّكَ إِلَىٰ عَبْدٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَلَا حِسَابَ عَلَيْهِ. That when your Rabb smiles upon a servant in this world, then on the day of Qiyamah there will be no accountability for him. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And when a person performs these good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes extremely pleased with him and showers him with rahmah, with mercy. And number two, such a fortunate person will enter Jannah on the day of Qiyamah without accountability. Allahu Akbar. Now, what are these beautiful good deeds? Number one is seeking forgiveness for sins. And you know, Sayyidina Ali ibn Rabi'ah rahimahullah, he narrates that once Sayyidina Ali al-Murtada radiyallahu ta'ala anhu mounted a ride and seated me behind him. We set out towards an area called Hadra, and whilst traveling, he raised his head towards the sky and he recited, Allahumma ighfir li dhunubi innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba ahadun ghayruk. Oh Allah, forgive my sins, indeed none forgive sins except you. Sayyidina Ali bin Rabi'ah rahimahullah says that after reciting this, Mawla Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu looked towards me and smiled. He says that I was surprised and asked that, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, you first sought forgiveness, then you looked at me and smiled. What is the secret behind this? Sayyidina Ali, he narrated a parable, recalling a memory from his past. He says that once our beloved master Sayyidina wa Mawlana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was riding, and he honored me by seating me behind him. Just as we were traveling, just as we are traveling towards Hijra today, we were traveling towards Hijra then as well. And while on the way, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his best head towards the sky and recited the same dua that I recited today, which is, Allahumma ighfir li dhunubi innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba ahadun ghayruk. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned his radiant face towards me and smiled. And I asked the same question you have just asked. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the wisdom behind this best action? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, O Ali, when a servant asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive his sins, Allah ta'ala becomes pleased with that servant and smiles at him. It is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's smile that I smile as well. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So these are Madani Sunnah. From this blessed hadith narrated by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we learn that when a servant seeks forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his sins, Allah ta'ala becomes extremely pleased with that servant, and in a manner befitting his majesty smiles, as if to say, look, my servant knows that he has committed a sin, and he also knows that his Rabb is the one who forgives sins. So we too should make a habit to seek forgiveness for our sins. Now, recite with reflection on its meaning. Allahumma fili, that, oh Allah, forgive me. Make it your daily routine to recite Allahumma fili. Even if not much, recite at least one tasbih daily, meaning 100 times, right? There are other words of istighfar as well. And keep reciting astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Also, recite Sayyidul Istighfar, alright? This is also very, very beneficial. So, we see that the first act that we are discussing is what? It is seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what we need to understand is that you and I, we are insan, we are human beings, we are going to be committing mistakes. We are going to sin, there is no doubt about that. But let me give you an example. If something gets rusted, something in your home gets rusted, something in your vehicle gets rusted, some appliance gets rusted, what do you do? Do you leave it or do you sort it out? You would want to sort it out. You would get the necessary detergents and you would get rid of the rust. I like that. Our heart, when a person sins, the heart becomes black, one black spot, then another sin, another black spot. And like that, person continues committing sins, the whole heart becomes black, the heart becomes rusted, the heart becomes hard. So, we need spiritual detergents to remove that blackness from the heart, to remove that rust from the heart. And that is istighfar. That is our spiritual detergent, is istighfar, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our sins. When you do that, then eventually the heart will become pure, the heart will become clean. So it's important that we seek forgiveness on a daily basis. It shouldn't be the case where a person waits for Thursday night, person waits for the day of Jum'ah, if the person waits for the days of Eid or for any other big night, and then says, okay, when that day comes, then, or when Ramadan comes again, then I'm going to seek forgiveness for my sins. The rest of the year, other than that, I'm going to be continue committing sins and continue and continue. This is the wrong idea. This is a misconception, a misunderstanding. Seeking forgiveness should be a part and parcel of our life every single day. We should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. It's important. You know, sometimes a person commits sins and ends up falling for the tricks, traps, whispers of shaitan to such an extent that a person does not even want to seek forgiveness for his sins. Why? Because he finds so much of pleasure in doing so. So he finds so much of satisfaction and pleasure in committing those sins that to seek forgiveness for it is a very far-fetched thing for such a person. And this is how shaitan tricks a person that, no, you still have a long life ahead. Your life is going to feel so empty and you're not going to be enjoying life. You can't leave it. A person will have long hopes, etc., etc. These are the traps that and the whispers that Shaitan puts into a person's mind to such an extent that the person does not have the desire to seek forgiveness. So remember, Shaitan is the one who wants to make you and I feel hopeless. And our Creator, our most merciful Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who makes us want to feel hopeful. That is why in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you and I that do not ever lose hope, do not stay in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La taqanatu min rahmatillah. So, we have to be hopeful in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A believer is not he who gives up. A believer is he who continues moving forward and turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's take a typical example. When a child starts to walk, starts to stand, the child will stand up and he'll fall down again. And he'll pick himself back up, try to stand, fall down again. The child tries to walk, he will walk a few steps and he will fall down. But the child doesn't give up. The child continues. In that there is a lesson for you and I, that the child is teaching you and I as adults that I am learning to walk, I fall down, but I still pick myself up. You, on the other hand, you are an adult. You are mature. Yet you give up so quickly. Yet you lose hope so quickly. So we need to learn every time we fall by committing sins. We need to pick ourselves up again and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each time you commit a sin, turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always ask forgiveness. And eventually you would see that you would form a hatred for sins. You would dislike committing sins. Eventually you would form a habit of loving to do good deeds. Why? Because you had istiqamah. You were steadfast in always turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after committing a sin, because you knew that I committed a sin. Yes, I am human, I committed a sin, but I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most merciful. And if I committed a sin, I sincerely turned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ran to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive me because I'm sincere in it. And then after some days, I committed another sin. Turn back. After some days, I committed another sin. Turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how we need to conduct ourselves, dealings of Malaysia. Don't ever fall for the whispers of shaitan, because shaitan, he is our open enemy. Shaitan, he wants you and I not to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan will put these whispers in your mind that you gambled, you committed fornication, you stole, you lied, you did this wrong and you did that wrong. How can you now turn back? But don't turn back, rather continue in this way. Still have a long life. When you become old one day, then you must turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how shaitan lays his tricks and his traps. And the person gets caught into it because of long hopes. So to eliminate that, we need to firstly, as soon as a person commits a sin, and this thought comes and you move it out of the way, immediately run towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg for his forgiveness. And then you would see how your life changes, because we have to make the effort. We have to make the first step. We have to put in that effort to show that we don't want to commit sins, that we want to abstain from committing sins. For that we need to show in the effort. And inshallah we'll see how our life changes. So seeking forgiveness for sins, use of Madani Shunan, is such an act that, as we have heard the narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased with such a person. So this is what we need to do. And also instill this beautiful teaching in our children as well. Because we don't know whether we are going to die with iman or not. We have no guarantee on that. Right? And before we pass away, we want to make sure that we seek forgiveness for our sins. We don't know when we are going to die. It could be now, it could be in the next moment, it could be whenever. We don't know when we are going to die. So why delay repentance when we have no guarantee of our death? So we rather start now at this very moment, not tomorrow, not in the next hour, not in the next minute, but right now. We rather start now to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins. You know, make sincere tawbah. It shouldn't just be lip service. Or it shouldn't just be where a person says tawbah, tawbah, and you know, tap their cheeks on either side. That's not repentance. You know, sincere repentance is a person turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, feels remorse, ashamed, guilty, makes a strong determination not to commit that sin again in the future. That is sincere tawbah, Yusuf Madani Shunan. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught you and I that when a person commits a sin, then they should cover it up with a good deed. You committed a sin. So what do? You said tasbih. send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You committed a sin, recite the Holy Quran. You committed a sin, perform salah. You committed a sin, perform salat al-tawbah, two rakaat nafil, salat al-tawbah. You're covering up the sin with a good deed. This is what we need to do. Not when you commit a sin and then you leave it there and then you remain stagnant. No. Commit a sin, cover it up with a good deed. This is what we need to do. If it's of my nation. And alhamdulillah. So that was the first point in seeking forgiveness for our sins. The second point is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, there are three types of servants at whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks and smiles and becomes very pleased. The first is a servant who wakes up at night, leaves his bed, performs wudu properly, and then stands in salah. Seeing him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels that, oh angels, tell me, what encouraged my servant to do this good deed? The angels reply that, Ya Rab, Ya Allah, you know best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, I know, but tell me. They say, the angels say that, oh most generous master, you instilled in him fear of one thing, which is hell, so he fears it. And you gave him hope of one thing, which is Jannah, so he hopes for it. It is this fear and hope that made him sacrifice his sleep and stand before you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that, oh angels, bear witness what he fears, meaning hell, I have granted him safety from it. And what he hopes for, meaning paradise, I have made obligatory for him. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And the second is the person who participates in the battle between truth and falsehood, remains steadfast until either he is martyred or Allah Ta'ala grants him victory. And seeing this servant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also smiles, meaning becomes pleased. And the third is the servant who travels at night. When he stops during the last portion of the night, his companions sleep, but he stands and he begins to pray. Seeing the servant as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala smiles, meaning becomes pleased. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So yes, divis of Madani channel, look at how fortunate and how blessed such a person is, alhamdulillah. And as of now, we do have a very beautiful kalam, a very, very beautiful na'at in the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I'm sure is going to rejuvenate our hearts, minds, bodies and souls in the love of the Habib Sayyidina wa Mawlana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us go forward and listen to this kalam, and thereafter we will be back to discuss much more inshallah. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا
جب اشارہ ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا
ڈوبتوں کا یا نبی کہتے ہی بیڑا پار تھا ڈوبتوں کا یا نبی کہتے ہی بیڑا پار تھا ڈوبتوں کا یا نبی کہتے ہی بیڑا پار تھا غم کنارے ہو گئے پیدا کنارہ ہو گیا غم کنارے ہو گئے پیدا کنارہ ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا
تیری طلعت سے زمین کے ذرے مہ پارے بنے تیری طلعت سے زمین کے ذرے مہ پارے بنے تیری طلعت سے زمین کے ذرے مہ پارے بنے تیری ہیبت سے فلک کا مہ دو پارا ہو گیا تیری ہیبت سے فلک کا مہ دو پارا ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا
یوں تو سب پیدا ہوئے گئے آپ ہی کے واسطے یوں تو سب پیدا ہوئے گئے آپ ہی کے واسطے یوں تو سب پیدا ہوئے گئے آپ ہی کے واسطے قسمت اس کی ہے جسے کہہ دو ہمارا ہو گیا قسمت اس کی ہے جسے کہہ دو ہمارا ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا
تیرے سانے سے کوئی پوچھے تیرا حسن و جمال تیرے سانے سے کوئی پوچھے تیرا حسن و جمال تیرے سانے سے کوئی پوچھے تیرا حسن و جمال خود بنایا اور بنا کر خود ہی پیارا ہو گیا خود بنایا اور بنا کر خود ہی پیارا ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا
تو ہی نے تو مصر میں یوسف کو یوسف کر دیا تو ہی نے تو مصر میں یوسف کو یوسف کر دیا تو ہی نے تو مصر میں یوسف کو یوسف کر دیا تو ہی تو یعقوب کی آنکھوں کا تارا ہو گیا تو ہی تو یعقوب کی آنکھوں کا تارا ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا
ہم بھکاری کیا ہماری بھیک کس گنتی میں گئے ہم بھکاری کیا ہماری بھیک کس گنتی میں گئے ہم بھکاری کیا ہماری بھیک کس گنتی میں گئے تیرے در سے بادشاہوں کا گزارا ہو گیا تیرے در سے بادشاہوں کا گزارا ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا
اے حسن قربان جاؤں اس جمال پاک پر اے حسن قربان جاؤں اس جمال پاک پر اے حسن قربان جاؤں اس جمال پاک پر سینکڑوں پردوں میں رہ کر عالم آرا ہو گیا سینکڑوں پردوں میں رہ کر عالم آرا ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم الحمدللہ very beautiful کلام in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are what we need to listen to, these of my nation. We need to listen to the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order for unite with these are all of all the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also together with that, recite the Holy Quran, because the Quran is the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we make those dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the complete love for his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, coming back to our topic of discussion in which we are discussing deeds that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus far, we have mentioned regarding seeking forgiveness for our sins, how this good deed pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's something that we should never be stagnant upon, rather we should continuously do so on a daily basis. And the second, which we have mentioned just before going to listen to this beautiful kalam, was worshipping at night. Yes. For you and I to worship at night. I mean, just like for a moment, Ibn of Madinatun. I mean, how fortunate is that servant, is that person who wakes up at night, sacrifices his sleep, performs wudu properly, and stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, he's truly blessed. You know, the one at whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. Alhamdulillah. So, you know, at times, we never know what problems a person is going through. At times, we go through so many issues, so many problems. But remember, whether you are happy, in happy times, or in difficult times, at all times we should turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shouldn't be the case that in happy times we forget our obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in difficult times, then we suddenly remember our obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should be every day. You know, one, try it out. Pour your heart out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware, He is all knowing, all seeing, all hearing. Wake up one night when your family is sleeping, your friends are sleeping, everyone is sleeping, and you wake up one night. You perform wudu properly, take out your musalla, and you perform two raka'at nafil of salat al-tahajjud. And in sujood, even after sujood, you raise your hands in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After you perform salat al-tahajjud, then you place your forehead on the ground in sajda, and you cry out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with, you feel your thanks and your gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You express how grateful you are for all the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you. Then you, all the problems that you are going through in life, all of the difficulties that you are going through in life, you mention all of that. Seeking forgiveness for your sins. You know, when you do that, how much lighter you would feel. You would feel so light, you would feel so peaceful, because there is no one around you. It is only you and your Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do it, try it, and you would see what a difference it makes, Jesus of Madani Karim. Now, seek forgiveness for your sins whilst you worship at night. Don't ever despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there were incidents in the past where people have committed hideous sins, such despicable sins, but they have not lost hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They haven't lost hope, they did not despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, look at the person in Bani Israel who killed 99 people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Why? Because he had this firm niyat, this firm intention in his heart that he wants to reform, that he wants to change his life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Allahu Akbar. We come across another person where committed a sin. After committing the sin, he was running around, pacing up and down, out of restlessness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Why? Just because he was restless due to committing that sin. Because of his restlessness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Allahu Akbar. We come across another person who was a very pious person. And one day, he got trapped by the beauty of a woman. And he committed wrong with her for 6 nights, right? He stayed with her. And after that, he felt guilty, he felt regretful, he felt remorseful, he felt disgusted with himself. So what does he do? He runs towards the masjid. On his way to the masjid, he comes across three beggars sitting at the entrance, and he had a loaf of bread with them. He gave them the loaf of bread each. And he went to the masjid. And so happened that when this person eventually passed away, someone had a dream, and it was shown that all of his good deeds, that he had performed throughout of his life was on the scale of good deeds, and the 6 nights that he spent doing wrong with that woman was placed on his scale of bad deeds, and that outweighed his scale of good deeds. That 6 nights that he spent, that became heavier, and his good deeds, it dropped. Then what happened? That bread that he gave to those three beggars, that loaf of bread, that was placed on the scale of his good deeds. And when that was placed on the scale of his good deeds, it outweighed, it became heavy on his scale, and the scale of his bad deeds, that became lower. Allahu Akbar. And due to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Allahu Akbar. So we see the definition of that, how infinite and how great and how vast is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always seek forgiveness. And these are parables that are there for our motivation, that are there for our encouragement. That these people, you know, we see one thing in them in common, that after committing a sin, they felt regretful over it. They felt remorseful over it. They felt guilty over it. They felt ashamed. And that is sincere tawbah. And that is what we need to do. That we need to seek forgiveness for our sincere tawbah. Wake up in the middle of the night. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these two acts of the financial are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next we see is sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and reciting the Holy Quran at night. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a servant wakes up at night, performs wudu properly, praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifies his greatness, sends durood upon his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then opens the Holy Quran and begins reciting it. This is the servant at whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala smiles and says that, look, my servant is worshipping me while no one sees him except me. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful narration is of Malinjano. You know, to wake up in the middle of the night, perform your wudu, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you recite the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased with such a person. That is why we should continuously send an abundance of salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us all collectively, with love, ishq and mahabbah, let us also be fortunate to send salawat upon the beloved Habib, Sayyidina wa Mawlana, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin. Sabse bala wa la hamara nabi apne maula ka pyara hamara nabi apne maula ka pyara hamara nabi dono alam ka dola hamara nabi allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana muhammadin. Kya khabar kitne tare khile chup gaye par na doobe na doob hamara nabi kaun deta hai dene ko muh chahiye kaun deta hai dene ko muh chahiye dene wala hai sacha hamara nabi allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana muhammadin allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana. محمد غمزتوں کو رضا مجد دیجئے کہ 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 پہ کسوں کا سہارا ہمارا نبی اللہ ہم صلی علی سیدنا و مولانا محمد اللہ ہم صلی علی سیدنا و مولانا محمد صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. This is what we need to instill in our children as well, for them to also continuously send salawat upon the beloved Habib صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, because it brings about barakah, it brings about success, not only in this world but in our qabr and in the hereafter as well. You know, the salawat that you recite upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that can even save you from the fire of Jahannam, that can even help you to cross the bridge of Sirat safely by just by reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like in the narration, there is one narration wherein the summary and the mafhum of it is that there is a person, the narration says that on the day of Qiyamah, there will be a person, the angels will be dragging him towards Jahannam, and this person will be from the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the angels will be dragging him towards Jahannam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come, and thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will take out a piece of paper from his pocket and will put it on the scale of good deeds of that individual, and his scale of good deeds will now become heavier than his scale of bad deeds. This person will run to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and will thank Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and will say, what has saved me? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will tell this person that it is your durood, it is your salawat upon me you have recited that has saved you today from the fire of Jahannam. Subhanallah, look at the benefits of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are many other such parables, dear of Madani, you know. We see a person from Bani Israel, and this is truly profound. A person from Bani Israel, he was a sinner, right? He would sin day and night, and people despised him. People didn't like him. People hated him because of the amount of sins that he would commit. He passed away. People were disgusted with him. They took his body, threw it into a dumpyard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam that, oh Musa, go to so and so place, take out my servant from that place, give him a proper burial, ghusl, kafan, dafan. Musa alayhi salam, he goes. And he also knew that this person was sinful. He does as he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, oh Allah, what is the wisdom, the secret behind this? This person disobeyed you. This person was a sinner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, oh Musa, yes, he was a sinner. Yes, he disobeyed me. But he had one habit. Whenever he would open the Torah to recite, and he would come across the name of my Habib Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would kiss the beautiful name of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and send salawat upon my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Musa, it is for this reason that I have forgiven all of your sins. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Now, I want you to think about this, that person, that individual, was a man from the nation of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam that recited salawat upon Sayyidina wa Mawlana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he got this maqam, he had this status that he was forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine you and I being from the ummah of Sayyidina wa Mawlana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine when we recite salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much of thawab we will be getting, how much of rahmah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be showering upon us. These are the blessings of reciting durood-e paak, salawat, salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And remember, when you recite salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, trying to close your eyes, visualize yourself in front of the Gumbad-e Khadra, in front of the Roda-e Mubarak. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sit in a tahiyyat position with your head lowered, with your eyes closed, with your hands on your lap, and with concentration, with focus from the bottom of your heart, send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you would see what a big impact it would have in your life. You're going through any difficulties, you're going through the financial difficulties, you're going through death, you're going through whatever the problem may be. The moment you recite salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see how all those difficulties be removed. You are hungry, send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're thirsty, send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You forget something, send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you would see how you remember that. Yes. You see for yourself. So always, abundantly, on a daily basis, keep sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Holy Quran as well, Allahu Akbar, has so much of reward when you recite it. Narration says, the summary of the narration says, for each letter that you recite of the Holy Quran, there are 10 rewards for you. Alif, Lam, Mim, Alif 10 rewards, Lam 10 rewards, Mim 10 rewards. You recited one page of the Holy Quran, 10 rewards for each letter. How much of reward is the of my channel? Subhanallah, subhanallah. So, and then the Holy Quran will ascend towards the heavens. It will bring the beddings of Jannah with, and will come back into the qabr. And it will console. Look at how comforting the Quran. Look at how much of comfort the Quran will give to this person. That when he comes back from Jannah, it will say that, were you worried? I just went to go and get your bedding from Jannah. Were you okay all this while? Look at how concerned the Quran is for its reciter. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So always recite the Holy Quran, Yusuf Madinah, even if it be 3 verses a day. Subhanallah. 3 verses a day you recite, with its translation from Kanzul Iman and with its tafsir from Miftahul Ihsan. You recite 3 verses a day, and subhanallah, it will bring such a big change in your life. So, sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the 3rd deed, and the 4th deed was reciting the Holy Quran at night. We go on to the 5th, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala smiles upon seeing 3 types of servants. Among the people who straighten the rows during salah, number 1. Number 2 is the servant who strives in the path of Allah. Number 3, the servant who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the darkness of the night. And seeing them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased. And the views of Madani Sharam. These are 5 deeds in total. Offering salah at night, reciting durood in solitude, in the solitude of the night, reciting the Holy Quran, performing any act of worship in the darkness of the night, and number 5, straightening the rows. Now reflect for a moment. How difficult are these deeds? Are they difficult? No, not difficult at all. You wake up at night, you offer just 2 rakat, recite as much salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as you can, and recite as much of the Holy Quran as possible. If nothing more, then recite Surah Mulk. And whenever you attend the masjid for jama'ah, ensure the rows are straight by aligning your heels and your shoulders. Now these are small, simple actions, yet look at their virtue. The person who performs them is so fortunate that his Rabb smiles at his action, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes extremely pleased with him. And such a blessed person is one who, inshallah, will enter Jannah without accountability. Now, subhanallah, you know, nowadays, many young people's nights are wasted on useless activities, scrolling through social media, watching random content on their phones, chatting on social media platforms. Hours pass by without realization. Even if not more, set aside at least 1 hour for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, you will receive such blessings that words cannot describe. Now, Sayyidina Qabisa bin Uqba, rahimahullah, narrates, that after the passing of Sayyidina Sufyan Thawri rahimahullah, saw him in a dream and asked, what did Allah Ta'ala do with you? And he says that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said to me, O son of Sa'id, glad tidings for you. I am pleased with you because when night would fall, you used to worship me with tears and a soft heart. Jannah is before you, take whichever palace you wish and continue beholding me, for I am not distant from you. Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And we have just heard about those who straighten the stuffs in prayer are such people upon whom Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased. Now, sadly, a lot of negligence is seen in this matter today. Usually before starting the jama'ah, the imam announces, straighten your rows by aligning your heels, your necks and shoulders. Despite this, you know, many people do not pay attention to the imam's announcement or straighten the rows. Now, remember that not straightening the rows in salah is not a minor issue. The harms of this negligence mentioned in the hadith are very serious. You know, failing to straighten the rows is abandoning a wajib, which is impermissible and sinful. Because the rows were not straightened, the prayer, the salah remains deficient. And not straightening the rows becomes a cause of whisper in salah. The hadith mentions that, fill the gaps. The shaitan enters between you like a young goat. And in another hadith, it is mentioned, whoever breaks a row, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breaks him. Now, in this hadith, in Fayd al-Qadir explains that it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distances such a person from reward and mercy, or deprives him of the ability to perform further good deeds. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, O servants of Allah, straighten your rows, otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create disagreement among you. Stories of Madani Shunan, especially for the men folk. Right, when you go to the masjid to perform salah, make sure that the rows are straightened. I mean, reflect for a moment on how important this matter is. Not straightening the rows is not just an issue of one salah, its effects reach our behavior and even the entire society. So we must make a habit to always straighten the rows properly during a salah. As of now, viewers of Madani Shunan, we do have a very beautiful piece of advice, a very beautiful nasiha. Let us go forward and listen to it. Thereafter, we will be back to conclude with our today's topic of discussion. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us so much. Eyes to see, hearts to feel, food to eat, loved ones around us, and most of all, guidance. But how often do we pause and say, Alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal states, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, that if you are grateful, then indeed, surely I shall grant you more. Shukr isn't just saying thanks. It's living a life, a way that reflects appreciation. Using our wealth for good, our health for worship, using our time for benefit, smiling through difficulty, trusting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still blessing us in ways that we may not even be aware of. Gratitude is not just feeling, it's a perspective. And when you live with shukr, you of course unlock more barakah than you have ever imagined. So take a deep breath and say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah for everything. Ya Allah, I thank you for all you have granted me, for indeed you have given me so much. May we always be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, a very beautiful piece of nasiha, a very beautiful piece of advice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to implement upon it and to spread it to others as well, inshaAllah. Coming back to our topic of discussion, alhamdulillah, we are discussing deeds that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have mentioned regarding seeking forgiveness for our sins. We have mentioned regarding worshipping at night. We have mentioned regarding reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in solitude and reciting the Holy Quran at night. And we have also mentioned, subhanAllah, regarding straightening the rows in salah. And now, among the righteous deeds that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one great deed is self-sacrifice. You know, once a hungry man presented himself in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had inquiries made in the homes of all the mothers of the believers, radiallahu anhunna, to see if any food was available. But no food was found in any house. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to the companions, alayhim ridwan, that whoever hosts this guest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy upon him. Sayyidina Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu anhu stood up and took the guest to his house. When he reached home, he asked his wife, is there any food in the house? She said, there is only a little food kept for the children. Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that put the children to sleep somehow. And when the guests sit down to eat, get up on the pretext of fixing the lamp and extinguish it, so that the guests may eat comfortably. He did this so that the guests would not realize that the household was not eating with him. Otherwise, the guests would insist. And since the food was little, the guests might remain hungry. So in this way, Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he fed the guests while he and his family spent the night hungry. The next morning, when they presented themselves in the prophetic court, the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon seeing Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said, last night, an amazing event occurred in the house of such and such people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala smiled upon the meaning. Allah ta'ala became extremely pleased with them. And regarding this event, the Holy Quran documents it when it is mentioned, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And they give preference over themselves, even if they themselves are in need. And whosoever was saved from the greed of his soul, then it is they who are successful. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So it becomes clear that self-sacrifice is also a deed that pleases Allah Ta'ala. And to conclude, self-sacrifice means giving preference to the need and desire of another over one's own need and desire. Subhanallah, in a hadith it's mentioned that whoever desires something, then restrains his desire and gives preference to someone else over himself, Allah Ta'ala forgives him. Subhanallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to act upon the six deeds that we have heard today and spread it to others as well. Until then, keep watching the new channel and keep sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Reflection that guide both heart and mind. A better life through faith we'll find. A better life through faith we'll find. Reflections for the better life.